I mean, it's the Raiders. We thought going into the game they were terrible. Gardner Minshew was their quarterback. They did not have Devontae Adams. They didn't have Max Crosby. I mean, you fully expected this was your get-right game in front of a home crowd on the road in Vegas. It was supposed to be a party.
And we just don't play well at home, and that's what it was. So welcome in, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
They don't play well anywhere, Ken.
Ooh, Daryl. Here it comes. Let's go.
I agree with that gentleman from North Carolina. They're not a football team. They're a group of individuals, right? Whatever happened last year at the Greenbrier did not happen this year at the Greenbrier. I'm already tired of hearing the head coach talking about how he's got to coach better. And I'm really sick and tired of hearing the quarterback talking about how they need to get on the same page. Then do it. Stop talking about it and do it. This was the easy part of the schedule, folks. And the offense scored a whopping 10 points yesterday. Thank God Max Crosby didn't play yesterday. He would have had 3 sacks and 11 quarterback hits himself with the way that offensive line plays. How Andy Dickerson came home from Vegas employed, still beyond me.
Wow, Daryl.
It's about time someone laid into DeJuan Jones, because you, Ken Carmen, came after me in training camp because I told you what I was seeing from the guy. Everything I saw in training camp from DeJuan Jones and the rest of this football team is exactly what we've seen in the first 4 weeks. No surprise to me, they're 1-3.
Please, go ahead. Ask him some questions.
All right, Daryl. So let's start out with this.
I'm reeling right now. I need a timeout.
What did you think of the Deshaun?
Those poor children, Ken.
I know.
You promised them a win on Friday. What did you do?
Oh, we've been through that. I can never guarantee them nothing ever again except for death and taxes. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
What did you think, Daryl, of the Deshaun Watson experience yesterday? I said from start to finish that might be the best and most confident I've seen him play throughout a football game with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. He played winning football yesterday. The interception, not his fault. Amari Cooper's got to – I don't know what has happened to Amari Cooper all of a sudden. He can't catch footballs. And when he does catch footballs, they're calling holding penalties. So I don't know how they get him straightened around. I don't know if he really was that angry that he didn't get his contract extension. I mean, he got his money guaranteed. You know, they gave him a chance to earn some extra money this year on top of it. You know, I don't know if he's still angry because he was included in the talks with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. I don't know what's going on with him. It's stunning to me that all of a sudden he can't catch a football. And if anything, he's validating the decision of the front office not to extend him. So I thought Deshaun played well yesterday. This was not on Deshaun Watson at all. I know he's taking a lot of heat for the fourth down play at the end of the game where he ended up taking the sack. The film sleuths are pausing the tape again and circling guys that were wide open and whatnot. Meanwhile, Deshaun is looking to the opposite side of where those guys are wide open. But I don't know where the play was designed. I think Kevin Stefanski said after the game that he has to look at the tape. So obviously we'll follow up with that to see what was actually supposed to happen there. But I thought Deshaun played winning football yesterday. I really do. His teammates let him down in a big, big way. Again, they don't play as a team.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So you've already gone after Andy Dickerson. What about the defense and giving up all those rushing yards and all the other things? I mean, I know you mentioned Amari Cooper. I got more on him here in a moment, but I got to get my bearings here. What about just a team that has said all week, the Raiders said all week, we're going to run the ball. It's like, but it's been my experience, and not just the Browns, a lot of teams like, we're going to do this, and they never do it. It's like, we are who we are, and you guys don't know we know. Right. And then they either go out there and they prove it, or they go out there and people keep asking. Raiders kept saying they were going to run the ball, and damn it, they ran the ball.
Yeah, they did. And the tackling on this defense right now is abysmal. And it's disappointing. I can't wait to listen to Jim Schwartz on Thursday. I'm sure he'll be in a delightful mood after going back and watching that. Look, it comes down to basic football, Ken. Games are won and lost in the trenches, and the Browns are terrible in the trenches right now. They don't tackle well. They don't block well. And when you do that, it's really difficult to win in the National Football League. And unfortunately, we're getting a front row seat of that.
What did you think of how the end of the first half unfolded, the decision to try to pin the Raiders back as opposed to taking the field goal?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be an aggressive head coach, then be an aggressive head coach and kick the field goal, right? You've got the weapon in Dustin Hopkins, who's very capable of making that field goal, and then trust your defense not to give up any points, or at worst, give up 3 points in that situation. So I would have liked to see him kick the field goal. All right. I mean, if you had one of these other slappies that were here before Dustin Hopkins, then I get it. You punt, you pin him deep, and you go to the locker room. But again, if you're going to be that aggressive, I'm going for it on fourth down, we're not kicking short field goals, you know, that type of a head coach, then be that all the time. Be consistent. Like, that's one of the things we always hear players talk about with Kevin Stefanski, is that he's the same person every day. No matter how great things are going, no matter how awful things are going, Kevin's the same guy. And I thought he got away from that personality a little bit. And that decision at the end of the first half is Exhibit A of that.
Darrell Ryder brought to you by Schaub Jewelers. Hey, are you starting to look at Andrew Berry differently right now?
Well, this roster isn't good enough. We thought it was good enough. It's not. And I wouldn't say I'm starting to look at him differently. He hasn't had a lot of good draft picks to work with because they had to give all that up to get Deshaun Watson here. So, you know, draft picks between the third and seventh rounds are, you know, you're rolling the dice there. So I hesitate to really get all over him because there's no youth in the pipeline here. It's not like he's blown a bunch of first and second round picks, right? The one first round pick that he's used has been Jed Wills, and, you know, Jed's been a roller coaster. There have been games where he's been great, and there have been games that he has made plays that have caused him to lose, right? JOK, you know, great find. MJ Emerson, he's going through a rocky stretch right now, but
why is that? Is he hurt or something, or what's going on?
I honestly don't know, Ken. I don't know what's going on with him either. He's not playing like the confident guy we saw last year either. I still believe he's a good player. You know, you're in that spot. You're on an island, you're going to get beat at times. And I don't know if it's a thing, Ken, where he gives up a play, and so now that's in his head, and he's thinking about it or whatnot, and so that leads to a domino effect. But it's been a little disappointing to watch him the last 2 weeks, frankly, get cooked out there. I don't know that Berry has done enough. The offensive line is a mess. You know, again, like DeJuan last year looked like he was a Hall of Famer in the making. And this year, the guy looks completely lost out there. He doesn't know where, if they send two guys at him, he doesn't know what to do. Do I block the guy on the inside? Do I block the guy on the outside? No, I'm just going to stand here and let both
go.
So
is it as simple as Bill Callahan had the answers and Andy Dickerson doesn't?
I think it is. I think they miss Bill Callahan tremendously. Remember, Bill Callahan also had a lot to do with their run game, Ken, and the design of their run game. You know, it's kind of like we're getting one big run per game. So, like yesterday, the Jerome Ford 35-yard run at the end there that at least gave them an opportunity to try and win that football game. But no, Bill Callahan had a lot to do with the behind-the-scenes
work. You are right.
Work.
He did do a lot of designing, and his office was right next to Kevin. That's very true. So let me ask you this. Does it feel like we might have lost two coaches then hurt ourselves in that case? Because it's not just losing that, but I wonder if they're struggling with the Ken Dorsey stuff and what he brings to the table and as an idea man for Kevin Stefanski and his play calling here. Right. Because if I don't have Andy Dickerson, all right, or if I don't have Andy Dickerson able to draw up any runs, and he's not doing a good job as an offensive line coach, and I lost Bill Callahan, and then I'm questioning what Ken Dorsey's doing, which I am. I don't know if Kevin is. I'm questioning what Ken Dorsey is doing. I mean, that's almost three different ways you're looking at failure then.
Yeah. Well, I said this earlier in the season, Ken, with you guys. They fixed something that wasn't broken. The offense was not broken. The offense maybe did not fit Deshaun Watson, but the offense wasn't broken. Kevin Stefanski's system is not a bad system. We saw that last year with Joe Flacco for 5 weeks. That's what NFL offenses look like these days. Not the garbage they're trotting out there, this dink and dunk stuff that they're doing now. The zero explosive plays down the field. They have 10 of they have 10 plays this year of 20 or more yards. Okay? They're the worst team offensively in scoring. They're the worst team in explosive plays. By the way, zero have gone for 40 or more. Yesterday would have been the first with that 82-yard touchdown, but of course Nick Harris is called for, in my estimation, compared to how they officiate against Myles Garrett and some of the Browns' defensive linemen, that's not a holding penalty. So if you're going to call that, you got to start throwing some laundry when Myles is being tackled out there. There's no fix here, Ken. I really believe that. Because, again, the same bad habits I saw in training camp is the same stuff we're seeing now. It's not fixed. And you just don't magically fix all this stuff in the middle of a football season. So I think that this is what it is, unfortunately. I know that's not what Browns fans want to hear after traveling out to Las Vegas for the weekend, but I just think that that's the reality right now. They're a bad football team.
All right, Daryl, we saw yesterday on the sidelines DeJuan Jones, Jameis Winston, and Deshaun Watson having their discussion. After the game, Elijah Moore's dad took to Twitter a series of tweets about his son not getting targeted enough. And as always, almost a week
later. It's that season. We're four games and the parents are on social media. Ain't it great?
And it's almost a weekly occurrence with Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach getting into it with Browns fans. How hard is it going to be for the organization and for Kevin Stefanski?
Wait, he got into it with Browns fans.
It's almost weekly.
It's a weekly occurrence.
So how hard will it be for the organization and, more importantly, Kevin Stefanski to try to control all of that as they try to turn this around?
Well, again, one thing that Kevin is good at is that's dealing with chaos. We've seen that in his time here. Not to say that the chaos that they're having to deal with now is good, but he is good at that. And the most Browns thing ever would be for them to go to Washington and beat the Commanders, who are the hottest team with the hottest young quarterback in the game, right? I mean, that's just would be the most Browns things ever. Can't beat the Giants, can't beat the Raiders, but then they go and beat the Commanders. Although I don't think that's going to happen, but stranger things have. So Kevin's good at dealing with those type of things. I'm not worried about Kevin. I'm worried about the players. Like, it's on the players. We can sit here and question play calls. We can sit here and question formations and personnel groupings and things like that. Look, these coaches aren't going out there missing blocks, missing tackles, not catching footballs and things, lining up correctly and, all those type of blowing coverages. And, like, the coaches aren't doing that. It's the players. So at some point, we just have to look at the locker room. And by the way, this team's pretty much the same team that was here last year, minus the quarterback. Okay? So they ran it back this year with pretty much the same group, threw Jerry Jeudy in the mix and said, let's go. And it's not worked. At some point you got to point the finger where it belongs, and that's inside that locker room.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Well, that was... Daryl, you yelled at me. That was startling.
I'm sorry, Ken.
Don't apologize. Do not apologize. I didn't even remember. So if I got what's coming to me, I got what's coming in. We're grown men here. I can dish it out. I got to be willing to take it. Daryl, thank you. Go ahead.
I just feel bad for those kids, man. Ken, you promised.
That's who promised. That's who we're let down in this ultimately with the children.
I guaranteed it.
You did.
Yep.
How could you do that to those poor children?
Daryl, thank you for the time.
Have a great week, guys.